Aiheessa ohjelmassa mukana Pasan Books. Tutustu Viisas elämä -kirjasarjaan osoitteessa kauppa.uskallainnostua.fi.
Kaunista ja kirpeää ja ihanaa syysiltaa, rakkaat kuuntelijat. Kuuntelet Vaiheessa ohjelmaa. Studiossa Mili Kaikkonen, kello on 8:02. Aloitellaan tosiaan tämän illan lähetystä ja tänään puhutaan stressin hallinnasta ja rakkauden periaate -nimisestä menetelmästä. Studiovieraana meillä on amerikkalainen tohtori Alexander Lloyd, joka on kehittänyt parannemisen avain ja rakkauden periaate -menetelmät, jotka auttavat tosiaan stressin hallinnassa ja joiden avulla jokainen voi hänen mukaansa ruveta voimaan paremmin erilaisilla tasoilla. Stressin vaikutusta terveyteen on tutkittu laajalti ja asiantuntijat ovat yhtä mieltä siitä, että pitkittyneenä se ei kerta kaikkiaan ole meille hyväksi. Stressi vaikuttaa immuniteettiin, mielen tasapainoon ja kokonaisvaltaiseen hyvinvointiimme kenties paljon enemmän kuin mitä tullaan edes ajatelleeksi. Tosiaan maailmanlaajuinen bestseller-kirjailija tohtori Alexander Lloyd on kehittänyt tässäkin ohjelmassa aiemmin käsitellyn parannemisen avainmenetelmän ja viimeksi rakkauden periaatemenetelmän, jonka avulla stressi talttuu 40 päivässä. Lisäksi menetelmä lupaa auttaa henkilökohtaisten terveyteen, vaurauteen ja ihmissuhteisiin liittyvien esteiden kohtaamisessa. Mielenkiintoista, mistä tässä kaikessa on kyse. Alexander Lloyd luennoi rakkauden periaatteesta tänä lauantaina Astoria-salissa Helsingissä. Welcome to the studio, Alexander Lloyd.
Thank you so much. It's awesome to be here. I'm in Helsinki on the radio. It's hard to believe.
It's great, isn't it? How you said you felt a bit cold today. It suddenly turned very cold, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, especially from a southern boy from the United States. It was 87 degrees Fahrenheit at home, and here I was chilly, but it was good. It was invigorating.
87 Fahrenheit is, wow, how many Celsius is that?
I don't know. I'll have to get my app out. But it's go swimming in the swimming pool warm.
Well, it's quite nice. This is my favorite time of the year, actually. You just, like we say, there's no cold weather. It's just wrong clothes. You know,
I've never heard that. I like that.
Yeah, we have to say that because we live here. Anyway, Alexander Lloyd, you have an interesting history. You have a PhD in psychology and a doctorate in natural medicine. And you are indeed a best-selling author of The Healing Code, which is a revolutionary stress self-treatment program. Who is Alex Lloyd? Who are you?
You know, that's a good question. I probably do 200 interviews a year, and I'm not sure I've been asked that in years. I think I am the biggest screw up I know.
Aren't we all?
And I'm trying to do a little better tomorrow than I did today.
I think that's very well put, and I think that's something that we all try in our own little ways. So you have a PhD and you have a doctorate, and you have all these titles, and now you're doing something quite different. So what is the story behind what you now do, and how did it all start?
Yeah, I was really trying to fix myself, I think, more than anybody else. That and my wife in our early years of marriage. And when I was in my 20s, everything in my life was crashing at the same time. I was about to be fired from my job. I felt bad as far as my health goes all the time. Friends that knew me in university would see me and say, "Are you okay? You don't look so good. You look old." Everything. And I wasn't laying on the couch just watching TV all day. I was trying to do the right stuff, but the right stuff wasn't working. And so I feel like you and I had a conversation before this started. I felt like I was living impractical spirituality instead of practical spirituality. And so when I finally hit bottom, I started searching for the practical kind that really would make a difference.
And I think it's a really good point that you raised there about impractical and practical spirituality, because the world is full of hypotheses and theory about how we should live. But when we start thinking about, well, letting go, what does it actually mean? How do I do that in practical terms? It's quite a different story.
That's right. It is. And when I started doing counseling, which I've been doing for more than 30 years, don't do that now. But when I first started doing that, I realized pretty quickly I can't in good conscience do what I've been trained to do, because it just doesn't work very often. And so when I found the solution for myself and my wife, I was determined to try to help other people, but it wasn't through what I was trained in. And so in a sense, I had to walk away from, you know, 20 some odd years of schooling and working three jobs at the same time and eating beans and peanut butter to get by to do what really was my dream in the first place, to really help people in a practical way.
And we will talk more about what that actually means and what is it that you do. It's very interesting. But going back to what you just said about how it didn't work, what you trained to do and what you had done for many, many years didn't work. Why do you think traditional counseling didn't quite do it, or why didn't it feel like it was enough for you?
Well, I felt like at the end of a year or 2 years or 3 years, which is pretty typical in counseling, the great majority of the time, the people still had their problem. And that was a problem for me, because when I got into that, that's not what I'd envisioned. I'd envisioned helping someone eliminate their problem from their life so that they could be happy, healthy, and successful. And I found that almost never happens. You finish counseling and you've still got your problem. Now, two good things have usually happened. You've learned some coping mechanisms, but the very definition of coping is you've still got your problem, or there wouldn't be anything to cope with. And number two, you feel like somebody understands you, like you've got someone you can talk to about your problem. And that is really, really valuable, but you don't have to pay somebody $100 an hour for that. I mean, you can find a friend or a family member or a priest, I mean, whoever. And but most of the therapists are too invested in their own finances to go any other way. They think, well, you know, this isn't what I signed up for, but I'm going to do it because I've invested too much of my life to turn back now.
Hmm. Now, at the moment, basically, and I'm sure in your past as well, when you worked in traditional counseling, you were dealing with lots of very stressed people. And we will talk about how your method helps with stress a bit later. But firstly, I would like to ask you, Dr. Alexander Lloyd, what do you think stress is? What is stress?
I think stress is fear that's become physical. Just that simple. It's fear that's become physical. And I think 99%+ of people live their life in fear. And they have this deep feeling that something's wrong, something's missing, there's a hole, and they search for it all their life, and they try all kinds of different things, but most of them really never find the solution. They just continue to live in fear in different ways, but they're still living in fear. And actually, clinically, it's fear that's become physical. That's really the definition of stress.
I never heard that before. That's a completely new definition for me, and it's quite interesting. I have to think about that. what's the antidote for fear that's become physical?
Anyone listening to this now, anywhere in the world, should inherently, without ever opening a book or going to a class, know what the antidote is. It's what all the books are about, the movies, the songs. We inherently know it. It's love.
Yeah, loads of books talk about that there are only two basic emotions and two basic feelings and two basic energies in the world, and they're fear and love. And of course, there are different opinions about that. But yeah, I'm sure that is quite a familiar thought for a lot of people. We will talk a bit more about what Beyond Willpower is and the Love Code, which you are talking about in Helsinki this weekend as well. But now let's listen to Josh Groban and You Raise Me Up, and you've chosen this song for us this evening. What made you choose this out of the 400 songs that you wanted to play tonight?
This one or the all four of them?
This particular one.
Because it's not about me. It's not about me. I need to be raised up. I don't have the power to raise myself up. I need to be raised up by love. And I am. And anyone can be. And I think that's what Josh is singing about.
Kuuntelet Vaiheessa -ohjelmaa. Mä oon Milli Kaikkonen ja studiovieraana tänä iltana meillä on tohtori Alexander Lloyd, kenen kanssa puhutaan stressin hallinnasta ja rakkauden periaate -nimisestä menetelmästä. Kello tulee justiinsa 20 minuuttia yli 8. Alex Lloyd, we just talked about stress and you said something quite poignant. You said stress is fear that has become physical, which is an interesting thought. I never thought about it like that, but I will from now on at least consider what that means in my life. But it was a new thought for me. And your current work really is all about handling stress and removing stress which is really a paradigm of modern life, you know, stress. And it feels like, I don't know if it's the same in the States, but certainly here in Finland, it feels a bit like a trophy, you know. The more stressed you are, the more important you are. And I think that it shouldn't really be like that. Is it like that in the States as well?
I would say to a certain degree, yeah, of course. You're considered lazy if you're not burning the candle at both ends and all that sort of thing.
Thankfully, I think the world is changing a bit now. And in Finland, there's big talk about downshifting and simplifying your life and moving to the countryside and growing your own vegetables and stuff like that, which is really sweet. But anyway, your book, The Healing Codes, talk about stress reduction. And now you have a new book called Beyond Willpower. And Beyond Willpower talks about the secret principle to achieving success in life, love and happiness. What is this? What is Beyond Willpower?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing to me. To me, this is like one of the most unbelievably well-kept secrets in the history of mankind. And when you understand what it is, you're almost left or at least I am left feeling like it's got to be a conspiracy or something that this is such a secret, because all the experts know it, but hardly any of just people, normal people, do. And let me set it up this way. My beautiful, wonderful wife, who I miss a lot right now because I've been away from her for a couple of weeks here in Europe, she was severely clinically depressed for 12 years. It was awful. It was terrible. It was put in your adjective negative adjective, and it was that. And she read a library of books by all the top experts during those 12 years, trying to not be depressed anymore. And she is a do-it-right girl. So whatever the experts said to do, she did it exactly the way they said to do it. And nothing worked. Nothing worked. And yet, all of these best-selling books and programs and seminars and workshops are a multi-billion-dollar-a-year industry every single year. In the United States alone, I mean, worldwide, it's multiplied many times. But what they all seem to ignore is that we have a literal switch in our brain. And it can be switched to success, or it can be switched to failure. And if it's switched to success, you're going to be happy, you're going to be successful to a large degree. You're going to be healthy. At least you're going to be healthier and healthier as long as it switched to success. And really, it doesn't matter about your effort. That is what is going to happen. You're going to be happy, successful, etc. If that switch is flipped to failure, you're going to be unhappy. You're by and large going to be unsuccessful, and typically your health is going to get worse and worse. No matter how hard you try to have the opposite happen in your life. And this is not a metaphor. This is a literal physical and chemical switch in the brain. All right? Well, you almost never find a book, program, workshop, or seminar that tells you about this switch in the brain and how to make sure and how to flip it from failure to success. That's amazing to me, because this industry goes back 75 years, and the position of this switch in your brain determines almost everything we know and believe about happiness and success. And yet, the billion-dollar industry emphasizes literally almost everything but this. Why? I mean, is it some grand conspiracy or something? No, it's not. It's not. It's not. In fact, the experts, most of them, are really wonderful people. A lot of them are great friends of mine. They stay in my house. I stay in their house. We hug each other when we see each other, not just shake hands, you know, that sort of thing. The reason you haven't heard about it is because they haven't had a way to fix it. They haven't had a way to flip it from failure to success. And I believe over the last 25 years, through trial and error, failure, two steps forward, three steps back, three steps forward, two steps back, etc., I've discovered a way on demand to flip the switch from failure to success. That's what the whole book is about, and I'm on a mission to help as many people as I can, one at a time, teach them how to flip the switch in their brain from failure to success, and then do it on their children and their spouse and their friends and hopefully people at work and people they care about. And once you do that, everything else is easy. Everything else is easy. That's why it's beyond willpower. Now, if that switch is flipped to failure, it's going to feel like pushing depending on how big a person you are, a rock uphill that's too big for you to push uphill, so it's taking great effort, and then before you get it too far, you just can't push it anymore, and it rolls back down the hill over the top of you, okay? That's how it feels if that switch is flipped to failure and you're trying to be successful through willpower. But flip the switch to success and it's beyond willpower. And the word I hear so much from people is effortless. So to me, on one level, it's physical and chemical in your brain. And until you solve that, not a whole lot else matters.
So you said that there is a switch in our brain and we can flip it from success to failure and back if we want. Are certain people more prone to, for example, being on the failure mode? And if so, why?
Yeah, absolutely. It's people who, through their ancestry, through their parents, have been taught to live in fear, which, and then the fear becomes physical and turns into stress, and now the switch in their brain is flipped to failure. And they don't know that. They just know that I don't feel good, and I can't seem to get to the place I want to get in my life, and I don't know why. I see other people doing things. Why can't I? And typically, they blame themselves, but it's not their fault. So, yes, people like my wife, who in the early years of her life, She was taught fear. She was shown fear. She had fear modeled for her. The word love was used, but it wasn't really practical. It wasn't really, yes, I love you, but then here comes the fear. And that was the overriding thing. And for absolutely, some people are more prone to it than others. It actually works exactly like your computer. You've got a computer open right now as we're talking, okay? That computer has hardware, it has software, it can have a virus. The fear works exactly like a computer virus. And so no matter what you do to that computer, you can yell at it, you can bang on the keyboard, you could throw it out the window. None of that's going to get the virus off of there. But you take the virus off, and it works great again.
So the word that comes to me when I listen to you is trust, and how perhaps some of us are programmed, if you like, to live in trust from a young age, and for others, perhaps it's something that doesn't come that easily. So essentially, maybe could it be that the success mode is also a trusting mode?
Yeah, absolutely. That I'm really shocked that you just said that, because very few people realize that. When you're in fear, the first reaction is to take control. And this is an unhealthy type of control. There is a healthy type of control, but this is an unhealthy type of control. And you're taking control to try and make sure that you get a certain end result in your life, that you get the promotion, that this person likes you instead of dislikes you, that you make money, that you don't have this happen, don't have that happen, that you manage the end results of your life so that they're what you want them to be and the things that you're afraid of don't happen. The problem is, unhealthy control is the opposite of trust. And so you can't do both at the same time. And so to truly trust, which comes from love, unhealthy control comes from fear. So to truly trust, which comes from love, you have to let go of that unhealthy control, which means you have to let go of the end result. So in other words, you're saying, okay, I am going to be okay if I don't get the promotion, or if this person doesn't like me, or if this negative thing does happen. I'm going to let go of control, and if that happens, it happens, but I'm going to live in love and trust regardless.
I sometimes think that, I sometimes use the metaphor that if we think that our life is our own kingdom, you know, my life is my kingdom. If I live in trust, then I have a benevolent ruler in my kingdom. But if I live in control and I try to control the end result of everything, then I'm under a dictatorship, you know. And I think that kind of, to me, that clarifies it pretty well.
You know, you don't look nearly old enough to be this wise. I didn't have a clue about you when we really started this, but that's a beautiful way to put it. I love the metaphor, and you're right. If you're determined to exert control over every area of your life, you're living in bondage. You're living under tyranny, and probably don't even know it. But when you live in trust, it raises you up, as Josh just said in the beautiful song.
So we now know this in theory. So we have a hypothesis of how we should live in trust and love, and learn to flip the switch from failure to success. But what does this mean in practical terms in your life, and for example, in your wife's life, who was severely depressed for 12 years?
Yeah. Well, the first thing it means is that 99% of people can't do what we just said with willpower. In fact, when I discovered this and was doing private practice counseling and therapy, I thought, okay, I've got the solution. All right. So I'm going to teach every one of my counseling clients how to do this instead of what I was trained to do classically as a therapist in the United States. Not one of them could do it. Not a single one. And I remember like it was yesterday, there was this wonderful man, a man of integrity, a man who was highly regarded by everyone, including me. And I taught and I was teaching him this. And as he was going out the door that day, he said this sarcastically, which was totally out of character for him. He said, "Thanks a lot, Doc. I'll just start that right after lunch." And it was out of character for him. So I got up and I grabbed him by the arm and I stopped him and I said, "Please, please, 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 don't leave. Tell me why you said that way." And he said, and he apologized for being sarcastic. And he said, "Well, Doc, doesn't everybody know that? I mean, doesn't everybody know that love is the most important thing and that they want to live experiencing and living love?" He said, "I've certainly known that all my life." He said, "I'm here because I can't do it." He said, "I don't know how many times in my life I've tried to do it. I can't do it." And that's what I discovered. Not a single one of my clients over years could do it. So if I was truly going to help people live this way in their life, I had to find some tools that would allow them to do it on demand. And that's what the book is about, is those tools and how to use them.
We are going to talk a bit more about what the tools are, and we are going to talk about what's the difference between success goals and stress goals, and we're going to talk about how, Alex Lloyd, you say that we are three-part beings and how we can address the different three parts. But now it's time for the next song that you have chosen for us, and it's Brandi Carlile, who was a completely new artist to me, and the song is called "The Story." Why did you choose this song, Alex Lloyd?
It's me. My story is unique to me, and it's a wonderful story to me, but it doesn't matter without someone to share it with. It doesn't matter without someone to love.
Ja kello on 18 minuuttia vaille 9. Kuuntelet tosiaan Vaiheessa ohjelmaa ja studiossa Mili Kaikkonen. Vieraana tänä iltana meillä on tohtori Alexander Lloyd Amerikasta asti. Alexander Lloyd on bestseller-kirjailija, joka on kirjoittanut Paranemisen avain-nimisen kirjan ja viimeksi myös tämmöisen Rakkauden periaate-nimisen teoksen, ja molemmissa käsitellään stressiä vähän eri näkökulmista. Alexander Lloyd luennoi Astoria-salissa Helsingissä tänä lauantaina ja kuulin juuri, että tilaisuus on tällä hetkellä loppuun myyty, mutta jos kiinnostaa liput, niin kannattaa varmaan katsoa sitä Facebook-tapahtumaa, jos siellä ihmiset yhtäkkiä ilmoittavat, että eivät pääsekään, jos niitä lippuja siellä sattuisi olemaan tarjolla, mutta valitettavasti lippuja ei enää pysty ilmeisestikään palvelun tarjoajan ja järjestäjän kautta ostamaan. Mutta palataan illan aiheeseen. Alexander Lloyd, we were talking about the success and failure mode of the inner switch that we all have, and we're talking about how we should learn to live in love and trust rather than fear and control, which frankly are pretty much the same thing, I think. In your books, and particularly this last one that I've been reading over the past few days, there are loads of really interesting themes, and I would like to talk to you about all of them, but unfortunately we can't. But there are a few that I would like to sort of bring up tonight. And one of the things that I found really interesting is the definition between success goals and stress goals. What do you mean by this?
Yeah. I think I already mentioned that back in my 20s, I was doing what all the experts said to do. I was reading their books. I was going to their programs. And everything in my life was sliding into the ditch all at the same time. And I came to understand that over the last 75 years in the self-development world, just about every book, program, workshop, seminar teaches the same three-step blueprint. Number one, decide what you want. Number two, develop a plan to get it. Number three, put the plan into action with your willpower until you get it. Now, the surprising thing about that, by the way, that makes perfect sense to most of us because we grow up doing things that way. But the surprising thing about that is that going back 75 years, according to industry experts and their own data, there's an approximate 97% failure rate, meaning 3% or less of people that do what the experts say actually become successful or happy or whatever. And when that happened to me personally, and then especially when I wanted to help other people in my private practice, I started investigating that. Why in the world is that? Okay. And what I discovered was shocking to me. And that is that three-step blueprint is actually a failure blueprint, not a success blueprint. In fact, it would be very difficult to come up with a better failure blueprint. Two bodies of research, there's a whole bunch of them, but my favorite two is Dr. Dan Gilbert from Harvard University, who did original research on the campus at Harvard, wrote a book about it called Stumbling into Happiness, great book. And what he found, and this is the conclusion of his research, a direct quote, his words, not mine, expectations are a happiness killer. And the reason they're a happiness killer is because the instant we have a future physical or external circumstantial end result expectation, it puts us into instant chronic stress. For how long? For as long as we have that goal or expectation. So that is a stress goal, okay? Dr. Bruce Lipton from Stanford University Medical School says that the odds of trying to achieve something, success or happiness, without deprogramming and reprogramming your subconscious mind first are roughly 1,000,000 to 1 trying to do it by your willpower without deprogramming and reprogramming. So according to those two bodies of studies, that three-step blueprint that's sold billions of dollars of books, programs, seminars, step number one and two are expectations, meaning stress goals. Step number three is willpower, which spikes your stress, and there's 1,000,000 to 1 chance that you're actually going to be able to do it successfully. So if we're talking about practical spirituality, hey, there's the research. Trying to do it that old way is like using the phone still plugged into the wall. It's like getting everywhere you want to go by horse and buggy. It's like using oil lamps to light your house. It's outdated technology now. Now, it's not been outdated long. This research is just very, very recent. But as of today, it's outdated technology. It's impractical spirituality that teaches you to set stress goals instead of success goals.
That's really, really interesting. And you said, according to this research, expectations are a happiness killer. And I would also like to add, assumptions are another happiness killer.
But absolutely.
That's another story, particularly if we talk about relationships. But yeah, let's not go there tonight. also, in your book, you talk about how we human beings are three-part beings and how we should use different type of language when we address those three parts of our being. What is this and what does it mean?
Yeah, this came from that 25 years of research when I was really trying to develop a program that was practically successful, maybe 90%+ of the time instead of a 97% failure rate. And I saw a lot of things and a lot of wonderful people who were doing things that would be partially successful, or they would help for a while, or they would help in one area, but for some reason they wouldn't help in other areas. And what I discovered, and this is not my intuition, this is based on the research too, is that we're a three-part being: body, mind, spirit. And we could debate, okay, maybe four parts or five parts or whatever, but that's really beside the point. Let's assume for the moment that we're a three-part being: body, mind, spirit. Well, the interesting thing is according to the research, that each of these parts speak a different language. The language of the body is frequency, and that goes back to E equals MC², Albert Einstein in 1905. The language of the mind is words, and that goes back to Dr. Sperry, who won the Nobel Prize for that research in 1972. And the language of the what I call the spiritual heart is images, which is also the Sperry research and some others. So you can treat the mind, the conscious mind, with images, but it's not going to be terribly effective. Now, they do overlap some, but it's not going to be optimal. You can treat the spiritual heart with frequency, and it might have some effect, or it might have some effect for a while, but it's probably not going to be completely successful. But if you have the perfect images, the perfect words, and the perfect frequency, you can treat all three parts of the being and have it be almost completely successful for each person. And boy, did that take a lot of trial and effort and work and a lot of failure to find the success, but that was part of what came out of that 25 years.
So your method that you talk about in the book Beyond Willpower, does it address all these three parts?
Yes, it does. And it gives you the perfect images, the perfect frequency, the perfect words for all three parts of your being, and how to activate all of those in about 5 minutes. And it's really cool.
We have about 2 minutes left, believe it or not. It's gone really quickly, and there are loads of things that would be nice to talk about, but since we are nearly out of time, there's one more thing that I'd like to ask you about, and it's a phrase, or it's a term that you use in the book, and the phrase is spiritual heart.
Yes.
What does it mean? I think it's a beautiful term. What is the spiritual heart in all of us?
When my beloved wife was sick for 12 years and I was searching for a solution, about 6 years into that search, I came across an ancient manuscript written by Solomon that changed my course. It was a linchpin moment. It changed everything. And here's what Solomon said more than 3,000 years ago. He said, "Guard your heart above everything else, for from it flows all of the issues of life." And it's clear from the context, he's not talking about the pump heart. He's talking about the "I love you with all my heart" heart. And as soon as I read that, I spontaneously said out loud, "That's it. That's it. That's why my wife Hope is depressed, and that's what has to heal in order for her not to be depressed anymore." And that was exactly true. And so to me, the spiritual heart is that place inside us that all these songs that we're playing tonight are talking about, the "I love you with all my heart" heart.
And And we will listen to the last song that you have chosen tonight. Thank you very much, Dr. Alexander Lloyd. It's been a great pleasure having you in the show. And let us guard our spiritual hearts. Your last song for tonight is Love is the Answer. Why did you choose this song? Was it significant for you?
Because love saved my life in every way that a life can be saved. And I've been helping people with that for 25 years, and I believe it is the answer, but in a certain way.
Vaiheessa ohjelman tarjoaa Basan Booksin Viisas elämäsarja. Katso parhaat tarjoukset osoitteessa kauppa.uskallainnostua.fi.